Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 94, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky. Thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 94.
congregation the portion of God's word that we wish to read this morning. You will find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and thereof the 9th chapter. Acts 9, but first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 9, the first 22 verses. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ.
Let's try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have, according to thy holy commandment, set aside in this morning hour and the labors of our hands, which have consumed us in the week that has gone by so quickly once again. And we have, according to thy commandment, come up unto thy house of prayer. And we can, with our deeds, merit nothing. For when we have heard in these moments thy holy law, from commandment to commandment, that is read unto us, then who is able to come before thee in his own righteousness? Oh, that thou may look upon us and remember us in this morning in thy mercy. For we have sung it out of thy holy word with the abundance of thy house. We shall be satisfied. And we have heard read also in these moments of the wonder and that was in the midst of thy church, the amazement at the works of God, how that they could not believe that such a one that such a man could be stopped upon his journey and could be changed to be made from a lion into a lamb. Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. Thou knowest the hardness of our hearts by nature. They are as the nether millstone, so that there is no man that is able, but that there is also no man that desires to be turned unto thee. O Lord, we beseech thee in this hour, and that thou mightest look upon us in thy mercy to be present among us and to work that same work, that same wonder that we cannot miss in our life, not young or old, as we are traveling to meet thee. Oh, then we need, as thou didst say, to be born again, and that thou wouldst do it for thy great name's sake, as thou hast done it in the times that are gone by, to show that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lord, and there is such a fountain, the fountain of eternal life, as we have sung it also together, and that is found alone with thee. It is a fountain out of which life can be born. It is a fountain in which thy people, they may be washed, and they may be cleansed, for there is sufficient of that blood to wash the chiefest of the sinners, that thou may remember those who cannot see any way, wherein it is possible, and that such as they are should again be received, and by a holy and by a righteous God. Lord, that thou may open unto such, even in this morning hour, the greatness of thy mercies, the fountain of thy blood, that the eye of faith may be given for a moment to look upon thee, in all the despair that is from the side of man. Wilt thou take of thy own word, and wilt thou sanctify it in the midst of us? Look upon our children. They have come to the end of their instruction in this week for this school year. They need to be instructed by thee. Those that have graduated also from our own school, Lord, we may acknowledge thee for all that thou dost give unto us, and that the education may be given to our children still in such a way. Give them also hearts to acknowledge thee, eyes to behold thy blessings, but wilt thou give them a cry that they may receive that instruction from thee, which is not able to come from a man? Wilt thou remember all those that bring thy word this day? Increase thou their number, and wilt thou also increase the instruction that we may be taught from above, and that we may know how to take forth the precious from the vile, and that we may be given, as thy disciples were given bread from thee, that they had only to hand it out unto the multitude that was hungry, that there may also be hunger and thirst in the midst of us in this morning hour. Wilt thou give, and that if we have come so in thy house, that the meek might eat and be satisfied, and if we have come in our deadness and in our coldness, in the hardness of our heart, that the dead may be raised to a new life, that thy name may be glorified, and that our souls may receive the benefit. Do strengthen us also, that we may labor in this hour, and that it may be a word from thee, and that is fitting for this one or for that one whom thou knowest. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 163, and the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Acts chapter 9, and thereof the first part of the 18th verse. Acts 9, verse 18, in the first part, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales. So far, the words of our text. Saul's scales removed. First, the receiving of these scales, and second, the deliverance from these scales. Saul's scales removed, first receiving, and second the deliverance from these scales. In our thoughts, as we see the contents of this chapter, then we see a man. He is being led by the hand. He is not a child. He is a grown man. He is being led just as a child. That is a man who was greatly feared. He was a man who had in the church in that time a great authority. It was a man who had received authority to bring men bound to Jerusalem, there that they might be tried, there actually that they may be put to death. If we see in our thoughts this man, then we would say, who would be afraid of such a man? Because we see that man, he is astonished. That man is trembling. Who would be afraid, boys and girls, if we would look at this man? And when we see him, then see him putting out his hand, and he is asking that someone else would take that hand and to lead him, so that he may go forward. You say, who would now be afraid of such a man? And when we see that man, then we ask, why is that? That the man is acting in such a way? Well, you say that man, he cannot see. That man, he is blind. Well, now, who will be afraid of a man that is blind? Can such a man hurt us? You say, he was not always blind. No, something has just happened. A very, very great change has just taken place in the life of that man. And so it is. And there are those. There are those also among us. They know something, even if it is only partially, of the plague of this man, especially when we do become old, and when the eyes, they begin to dim, and when we are not able to see anymore. Then what an awful plague. And then it is not that the things that are around us, they are ceasing to exist. It is not that they are not there in reality, but it is only that our eyes, they are blinded, our eyes, they are not able to view, to see them. But what is now the affliction of the body in comparison with all the trials of the soul of a man? Was that now all the trial of this man, that he could not see it with his eyes? Or is there not something that is also very much deeper? Blindness, and the darkness that is associated with blindness. That is something that we can read also in the Word of God, that is symbolic of ignorance. Later on, the Apostle Paul, he speaks about the ignorance of the Gentiles. Why? Because of the blindness of their hearts. And now Saul's greatest burden in these moments, in this hour, that is not the blindness of his natural eyes. No, it is the soul of Saul that has been cast into a great confusion. There is a great turmoil in his soul. There is a great turmoil in his mind. There is a great turmoil in his heart. You say, how is that? How is that that turmoil has come so suddenly within this man? Well, this man, he has been born again. This man, he has been stopped. This man, he has been going his own way. And it has pleased the Lord in this hour, in the hour of the Lord's good pleasure, to say, thus far and no further. It has pleased the Lord to give unto this man a new heart. It has pleased the Lord to regenerate him, to give him a new life from the dead. Is that necessary? Is that necessary for such a man? What kind of man was he? Was he not a religious man? Indeed, he was a very religious man. And not only a religious man, but he was very sincere in his religion. Because later on, then he can say, and that from the bottom of his heart, and that he has walked in all good conscience before God unto this day. Or does such a man need a new heart? Does such a man need to be changed? A man whose whole life, a man whose heart that is exemplary before God and before men. Or are we able to say that we have walked before God in all good conscience unto this day? What do you do, young people? Not only young people, all of us. What do you do with your conscience? Oh, do we hear that inner voice? And when that inner voice that is speaking to us, do we walk according as the Apostle Paul could say that he did in his life, that he walked before God according to what his conscience spoke unto him? And yet this man, he is an enemy. And yet this man, he is an enemy of God. And he is an enemy of Christ. And he needs to be born again. What a great change that is. Our fathers, they call it a new creation. They call it a resurrection from the dead. A making alive, which God works in us without our aid. Is that not so? Was it with Saul's aid that he was born again? Religious man. Did all his religion contribute to his new birth? Or did all his religion need to be overturned by his new birth. A man, he does not contribute to his own conversion. It is a great change. It is a vital change. We see a man here that was a lion. We see a man here who is converted into a lamb. The Lord spoke about that. The Lord prophesied this already in the Old Testament. Do you know what he said? Isaiah, you can read it, children, when you come home in Isaiah 11. And he says, when the Lord Jesus shall come, and when he shall begin to work, and that is what we see here, he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, and he is sending forth his Holy Spirit, and when he shall work, and then he says, then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. No, then the wolf that shall lie down with the lamb, and a little child, we read, shall lead them. Do we not see that here in the life of Saul? And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Scales. What are scales? You know that, children, what scales are. Scales we know of as being on a fish. And if you have ever handled a fish, then and you can scrape those scales, then you see those scales, they are laying very, very close one to the other. And this word in the original language that actually means to peel. That is, just as you would peel off a rind. That is, like you would take, boys and girls, a husk of corn, and you would strip that corn of all of the outer leaves, one after the other. And now here, then, it speaks about that covering. It says they are like, it was like scales. It was like, it was so covered over, one layer after the other, so that there was not a ray of light that was able to enter into the eyes of this man. Thus, what was now the first effect of the Holy Spirit when it came in the life of Saul? That was to bring darkness. Darkness. That darkness was not only in his natural eyes, but there was a darkness in his soul. Where did that darkness come from? Well, we can read that that darkness that came from a great light. That light that shined all around him, but that light that also did shine within his heart. And by that light, then his eyes and also his soul that was darkened, we can read. Why was it so dark within his soul? Well, because all of the former religion and all of the former intentions, they have in one moment come to nothing in the life of Saul. There is a darkness. The Lord dismisses all what he has done, that it is not worth anything. And not only that it is not worth anything, but that it is actually sin. Thus, this man, he does not know it anymore. He does not know it with all his former knowledge, and his knowledge was very much because we read this man, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. This congregation is true conversion. Saul was a religious man, but Saul was a wicked man. There are wicked people that have no religion, and there are wicked people that are full of religion. But what does the Lord say of this man? He says he is a chosen vessel unto me, and therefore there will come a day that he must be converted from the error of his way. And what is the first thing the Lord does? Then he takes away his light. He takes away his own light. He takes away his own religious light. What does the Lord say by Isaiah? He says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This will ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow." True conversion. That is a great mercy. Why? Because it is extinguishing the light of a man's own religion. It is extinguishing his own sparks. It is extinguishing the light of his own fire by which he thinks to have light, that true light. And the Lord, he puts that light out and he says that it is no light. How does the Lord put out that light? He comes in his majesty. He gives you to feel something of the truth of his greatness, of his holiness, of his majesty. He sheds light upon who he is and who that we are over and over against him. How does the Lord put out a man's light? Well, the Lord comes and the Lord speaks. The Lord says our own name, Saul, Saul. Then it is possible that we come to the house of the Lord. And we thought that we would hear nothing for ourselves. We came perhaps not to hear anything for ourselves. We came perhaps as it was a burden to us. But when we sit down in that house of the Lord, then the Lord, he knows how to say our own name. Saul, Saul. And the Lord, he comes to do what? He comes with his accusations. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That was a shock to him. Why persecutest thou me? You must remember that Saul, indeed he was a Pharisee, but Saul was also a sincere man, although he was sincerely wrong. But Saul indeed thought that he did God's service. Saul, in his persecutions of God's church, thought that he was in the service of the Most High God. Saul thought that when he taught that people that salvation by the law of Moses, that he taught them the way that they truly could be saved. And now in one moment, The Lord does what? The Lord, He is overturning all of this. The Lord is extinguishing all of that light, all of His religious light. Then you can understand how dark that it was in this hour in that life of Saul. Why? Because the Lord does not yet open anything yet of that true way. No, that is still closed for Saul. And at the same time, all of his own light that has been extinguished. Then indeed, congregation, it is dark. Scales. Darkness. Why? Well, because by the accusations of that law, by which Saul thought that he could be saved, the Lord declares in one moment, by that same law, his whole life to be sin. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what did he touch then? Well, then he touched the entire life of Saul. Was not that his entire life? Is that not what we read here? Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Thus the Lord, He shows in one moment what his whole life was, and he declares that that entire life that is a life against him, and not only so, but it is his entire religious life. Did the Lord ever declare your whole life to be sin? The Lord can do that in one moment. Maybe when you have heard this morning that law of God read to you, that one of you has heard what the Lord has said in His law, thou shalt not covet. And then an arrow that has struck your heart because you have seen that your whole life is laid before you in that one word, covet. And the Lord, He is able to make in one moment our whole life to be sin. Maybe we have heard that commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And maybe in one moment the Lord has shown to us that our whole life that is sin. Or maybe we have heard that first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we have seen in one moment what our whole life is. And in one moment, the Lord has declared that our whole life and all our religion, that is nothing but sin. Scales. Darkness, why? Well, Saul, in that moment, he comes to realize that even with all his religion, he does not know who God is. Who art thou, Lord? How long has he been going to the sanctuary of the Lord? Oh, how long has he given instruction even unto others? And in that moment that the Lord comes in his life, then all his knowledge, all that religious knowledge that comes to an end, and he realizes in that moment that he does not know the very first principles of that true spiritual life. Who art thou, O Lord? Then it is dark. Scales. Darkness. Why? Because the Lord has put his finger on the sore spot. And because there is guilt. And Saul does not know what to do with his guilt. Who art thou, Lord? You say it was Christ that appeared to him. That is true. You say maybe young people see it can begin with Christ. No. No, 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 no. When we say that it does not begin with Christ, then we do not mean that Christ, he is not the one that can speak, as we read it here. But what we mean by that expression is that it does not begin with deliverance. How does Christ here appear to Saul? He does not appear to him as a mediator. He does not appear to him as a surety, as a savior. No, Christ appears to him in the capacity of a judge. And that is now the first way he is in representation of his Father. We can read that in the end of time, that Christ also will, on behalf of his Father, judge the world. And so Christ, he is here appearing in the capacity of a judge. And thus, Saul, with that only knowledge that he had, being the duty of man for reconciliation with God, and this way cut off, then you understand when that guilt is coming, and when he is given to see that that way in which he thought to be saved, that is so completely cut off, that it is for him so very, very dark. And then we read of the mixture of the gracious feelings that are in the life of that people, because then there is guilt and there is an accuser in of that is God himself and the law. And you would say you would run away from it all. Right, boys and girls? Say when your father, your mother, they say, well, you must do this, and you are guilty, and, well, that law, that law, that law. And what does he do, Saul? He does not want to run away from it all. No, he is drawn to it. He wants to know who God is. Thus, he is drawn to his accuser, even though that he is coming against him. That is a mystery only to be experienced in the heart of a man. Scales. Why? Because though he is drawn to him, that he does not know the way back to him. He is asking, O Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because he does not know what he has to do. What do that people do then? Well, then they begin to pray. Do you pray? Do you pray, boys and girls? Young people, do you pray? Saul, you know, we read here, behold, he prayeth. Who says that? A man. The Lord said it. Behold, he prayed. That was the first time in his life that he ever prayed. Say the first time. Did he not pray so often? Did he not pray standing on the corners of the streets with the other Pharisees? Oh, there were likely so many times that Saul himself has said, "Behold me pray." Everyone, look at me pray. Hear me pray. And now it is not Saul that is speaking, but it is the Lord that is speaking. And it now is the Lord who is saying, "Behold, he prayeth." And then he is not standing on the street corner. Oh no, now. Now he is in his secret chamber. Now he is on his knees. Do you think that such a prayer that will go unanswered? A cry of the people that are lying in darkness and in the shadow of death? No. His 3 days, they may become for you, congregation, 3 weeks of darkness. They may become 3 months. They may become 3 years. But what does the Lord himself say? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, that is his word, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Let us sing Psalter 389, stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. 1 and 4 of Psalter 389.
Thank you.
children, young people, maybe you say in your heart, if that is what it is, when the Spirit of the Lord works in the heart of a man, if it is darkness that I would be brought into, then why would I want to have the least part of it? First of all, because it was not a true darkness. It is but scales. When a person is blind, then they cannot see the things that truly exist. But if their eyes would only go open, then they would see what the reality really is. In actuality, it is only a putting out of a false light what had been Saul's eternal portion had he never cried out under these 3 days of darkness. It is actually not darkness itself, but it is mysteriously light upon his darkness. So that a man is given to see his darkness. That is a mystery. But except that a man is given to see his darkness, he does not cry out from under that darkness, and he is not delivered from that darkness. In the second place, there will certainly be for this people a deliverance from their darkness. There is so much to learn in the darkness. There is a godly sorrow to be learned in the darkness. There is humility to be learned in the darkness. There is repentance to be learned in the darkness. But there is also that crying out to be experienced in the darkness. We read that this man in his darkness receives a vision. That is another mystery. A vision. He sees a man named Ananias coming to lay his hand on him, that he may receive his sight. What does that give him? It does not take away his darkness. He receives no light by that vision. But through that vision, the Lord encourages him to do what? To go on. What was he doing? Behold, he prayed. So that the Lord, he says to him in that darkness, go on. Go on. And what do we read? And immediately, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And we don't have time to speak about the history. You can read it again when you come at home. But it is not the deliverance merely from the natural darkness. You say, how do you know that? That is so plain. What do we read here? We read, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. What are the requirements for adult baptism? Has that anything to do with light in our natural eyes? Or can a blind man also be baptized? What do you think, children? Also a blind man, right, can be baptized. But a man who is blind in his soul and has received no light in his soul cannot be baptized. Thus, it is so evident that that light that has to do not with merely the opening of his natural eyes, but it has to do with the opening of the eyes of his soul. When those scales, they fall from his eyes, then the darkness in his soul that is also fleeing away. And soul receives a sight into the salvation of the Lord. That is the moment in the life of every one of God's children that that name of Christ, in which there is enmity and persecution by nature, that becomes precious to our soul. That a man sees him as he has never seen him before. He sees him in a new light. That was the surprising answer to his own supplication. What did he say? Who art thou, Lord? And what does the Lord do then? Then the Lord, in a surprising way, he is instructing that people in who he is. How? Not by an earthly education, but by the opening of their eyes. Paul, he says it later, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the way in which the Lord is teaching his people, by opening their eyes, by removing their scales, by revealing himself to their soul. Oh, how can we describe what that is? Oh, for the scales to fall away from a man's eyes. And for a man to see something of that blessed Savior by the eye of faith, even the smallest part. For an undone sinner who does not know what to do, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? For his eyes to be opened for one moment upon that cross of Christ. Oh, what is that for a guilty soul to have just the smallest glimpse of that suffering mediator and to see him by the eye of faith, though he is standing not near to that cross, but maybe so far away, but that he may see him just for one moment. Oh, in that place of impossibility, when when all the ways that he thought they are so cut off, when it has become for him so dark, and when he does not know the way anymore, but when the desires, they are welling up in his soul. O Lord, who art thou? O Lord, wilt thou instruct me? Wilt thou teach me? Wilt thou come into my soul? Wilt thou reconcile thyself unto me? And that the Lord is opening just a little bit, oh, to show him and to say unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then the scales, they are falling from his eyes, and then he may see. Oh, what a darkness. When the Lord is condemning my own work, when the Lord, he condemns all my supplications, when he condemns all my religion, and he says it is all nothing, yea more, he says all my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Oh, then what darkness. But what a light. When the Lord is opening then and giving that people to glance once into the active obedience of Christ, and how that he has said himself, which of you convinceth me of sin? So that people may say also of that man, this man, he hath done nothing amiss. Or it is possible that we do never know, as Saul may know, the day of his true conversion, the hour wherein the Lord has begun. But this hour, congregation, we will know. And we will know when that first light has entered into the eyes of our soul. We will know the day when those scales, they fell off our eyes. Then we will say, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Oh, then a man, he will be able to tell you what went before this. He will be able to tell you what came after this. Oh, how hidden. How hidden that Christ is so often to his people. Are there also those here that say, oh Lord, who art thou? Lord, who art thou? Continue on. Continue on, because such a cry that will not remain unanswered. The bride, she says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. But he says more, showing himself through the lattice. Showing himself through the lattice. It is mostly dark. But then there is a glimpse, a little glimpse for a moment. Then they may see something, the smallest part of what grace is. One of his attributes opened up for just a moment, that the meek may eat and that they may be satisfied. They are momentary visits. They are sudden visits. They are sought after visits. But they are visits that come so unexpectedly, such precious, precious views of him, opening up to them time and again. Just a little more of that blessed way of salvation, giving life to their soul, giving liberty to their soul, giving light to their soul, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said that to his Father, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. We don't need an education for this, boys and girls. Children, Little children, where are you? The little ones. Say, I have to go to school for 10 years first, for 20 years first, because there is so much first that I need to understand. No. No. It is not by an education. The Lord, He is often hiding it from the professors of the world, from the wise and the prudent that are in this world. It is not by education. It is by revelation. By revelation. Not that we need more revealed to us than we have in the Word of God. No. No. The revelation that is complete. But what do we need? We need our eyes to be opened. Do you believe that? We need our eyes to be opened. And if we have not received our knowledge of Christ by the opening of our eyes, by the Spirit of the Lord, then we do not have knowledge of Christ. Oh, there are such comforts that are awaiting God's children, that church that is fearing, that church that is trembling, and that is all by but the opening of their eyes. Because they cannot see it does not mean that it doesn't exist. Because they cannot see it doesn't mean that it is not there. That servant of Elisha, he feared. Alas, Master, what shall we do? What did Elisha do? He says, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes. The Lord opened his eyes. What did he see? He saw that mountain that was full of horses and chariots of fire round about the servant of the Lord. Oh, God's children, they are so safe. They are so safe. But oh, for eyes to see it, in order that they may believe it. Will you not ask for it, people of the Lord? Even more earnestly, say, oh Lord, who art thou? Open my eyes that I may see. In him is forgiveness for the guilty. In him is cleansing for the filthy. In him is renewal for the depraved. It is all mercy for the miserable. It is all grace for the undeserving. But oh, for eyes, for eyes, for eyes to see it. To those that may see him, oh, to see him, that is to love him. To see him, that is to desire him. To see him, that is to long for him. And these they shall live with him. They will live with him forever and forever. Will there be scales then? No more scales. No, then those scales, they shall be forever removed. And then there shall be no more hiding of his face. Paul, he says, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love him. But, he says, he hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Revealed it. Have you seen it? A little bit. A little bit. To make your heart leap for joy. Then what shall it be? And when you shall behold his face in righteousness. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need to be born again. It is thy own work. All our religion cannot contribute thereto. Our religion needs to be overturned thereby. All that we need, that the scales that may fall from our eyes, oh, we beseech thee. Lord, remember us young and old. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, that we may be saved from our sins, and that we may be given to enjoy the highest good. Bring us safely home, that we may acknowledge thee, and for thy help in this hour, and for bringing us through. Grant thy blessing, help thy servant in this afternoon. Bring us with desire to gather round about thy word of truth. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362:2-3. I wait for God, the Lord, and on his word my hope relies. My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise. I look for him to drive away my night. Yea, more than watchmen look for morning light. And what follows 2 and 3 of Psalter 362.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.